As most of you know, my mother was ill most of her life. For a long time, I didn't understand it. The first time she went into liver failure, I was a 9-year-old in denial, while my sister fully felt the gravity of the situation. But this time, when we got the call, we all felt the gravity. After I arrived at the hospital, I instantly realized that no amount of mental preparation could have prepared me for what I was going to see. Though she wasn't in as bad of shape as I had expected yet, it wasn't pretty. It's difficult to see someone you know so well in a state that is nothing like what you know them to be. Nevertheless, I became accustomed to her state over the next few days. But during the first day, there came a point where it was just her and I. As words began tumbling from her mouth, I quickly realized the reality she seemed to be avoiding had just hit her. "It's all going to be okay," I said, not meaning that she would survive, but that God's plans would prevail despite all of it. "No, it's not going to be okay. I'm dying, and I'm not ready to die. I don't want to leave you kids without a father or a mother," she quietly, hoarsely said through tears. At the same time, tears began to well up in my eyes. I empathized with her pain, and of course I didn't want to lose her. I had already begun to grieve the potential memories we could no longer make. But my tears were minor before the next thing she said. "I don't feel like my destiny's been fulfilled yet. I'm not ready to die. I live for helping people unlock their potential. I live to watch people reach a state of fulfillment. I live to watch people step into their destinies and toward their destiny. My reward is the look in their eyes, the hope that it creates within me. It's unexplainable, it's lasting, and it's legacy." So to hear someone so close to me on their deathbed say that they never feel, that they feel that they never got to accomplish what they came for, crushes my spirit. Now, nearly a quarter of a century ago, a doctor told my parents that there was a problem with my mother's pregnancy, and he would have to perform an abortion to prevent any danger to her health. Horrified, their pro-life nature brought them to a different doctor with a very different opinion on the situation. Thus, I was allowed to live. Again, my mother's health was threatened when she almost died having my brother. But that, too, eventually proved to be a false alarm. Then again, when she went into liver failure for the first time, the doctor said she had 3 months to live and it would be 9 months before a liver would be available. Over and over and over again throughout the years, the doctors gave us poor reports and we pulled through. God rescued her and he rescued us every time the enemy tried to take us out. She stayed strong through all of it. Her medicine was song. She worshiped, she danced, she sang her way through the pain for years. She refused to show her constant pain, weakness, and exhaustion. She didn't want to bring herself or others down. She remained strong and hopeful. It is this strength that she passed down to us three children. The enemy has tried so hard to take us out, and every attempt only makes us stronger. Thus, as I sat by the hospital bed, knowing full well I was having some of my final conversations with my mother, I continually affirmed her. "You've succeeded as a mother. We're all adults now. We're well taken care of. God has got us from here on out. You have nothing to worry about." I continually did everything in my power to release her and allow her to feel at peace while still backing her up on any decision she wanted to make. I chose to come to peace with the reality that her destiny would have to be fulfilled in heaven, and there was nothing more I could do. Men are always trying to solve things. It's in our nature. But also in our nature is our identity as human beings. So sometimes we have to stop trying to do and just be. I watched her wakefulness decline to nothing. I stared at her on that bed and I realized something revolutionary, at least revolutionary to me. The weaker she became, the more beautiful she was. The reason is that life is beautiful, and like all things beautiful, fragile. So cherish it, and long to help others fulfill their destinies, because we are created for relationship. It's in Genesis. Without relationship, we're just dust. The breath that fills our lungs is our power, that the words we create from that power build up and never tear down. I will be known